I'm not hearing anything else you want to add, Lisa? Oh, sorry, Assemblymember Corson, they're here again. That yellow background gets me every time.
It seems like this is pretty much the same thing we did before back in, was it August of last year? So I don't see it as any, it clearly states out there that it's enacting the requirement of face coverings in certain indoor settings. Yeah, we had a lot of pushback on that last time. I think that sentiment is actually more reinforced now. So I just, that's my opinion.
Thanks, Assemblymember Corson. Anybody else? Assemblymember Gilbert.
Well, would it be any more palatable if we took off the or else aspect of the mandate and had it more as a suggestion? I think as a body, we should be proactive to some degree on this issue. And I know I'm as fatigued as all of you on this issue. But, you know, I'm thinking of, in part, supporting the school effort. And we could amend the ordinance or the mandate and remove the penalty and see if that has, or make it a suggestion instead of a mandate.
Okay, there's a couple of things that I'm questioning. One is certain indoor settings. I wish it was more specific because that just leaves it open to interpretation. Number two is, I haven't heard a compelling reason yet from the city manager why it's important that we mandate this. Versus just do an educational thing. There's got to be some reason why us taking legislative action to compel people to wear a mask and fine them, besides it just has more authority. I guess it has more authority, but we don't fine anybody. We just go down and tell them wear a mask. I don't understand how any of this makes a difference to the end person who is not wearing a mask. So we're legislating something that has no teeth or follow through. That's my opinion. And unless you can convince me that there is a good reason for us to legislate this, I don't understand where we're heading with it. Anyone else? Lisa, do you want to respond to that?
I'm thinking at the moment, Mr. Mayor. I don't have an immediate response to you, other than I understand that there is truth in the matter that when you legislate things, the people that have already decided they want to do that thing do it, and they do it more readily. I do know that we have seen, when we've done this previously, an uptick in people wearing masks around the community. We've seen an uptick in businesses asking their patrons to mask up. If ever there was a time to do it, I think it's now, given the Delta variant and the case count that we're seeing here in Wrangell. We're bringing this forward only as a public safety, as a method to increase public safety. Can we do this with kind words and asking people to do the right thing? Yes. Are we going to start running around, fining people immediately and slapping the cuffs on them and sticking them in jail for not wearing a mask? No, I don't believe that we are. And so I think if we're going to take the same approach, other than be more proactive about noticing it and getting information out and the tools to the businesses that they need, then I can't give other compelling reasons besides that, Mr. Mayor.
Well, my question to you, and this is probably going to be a relatively uncomfortable question to you, why didn't you start 2 weeks ago? You didn't have to come to us to go around to businesses and hand out masks and make posters. This has been going on now for several weeks. We've never even given the community a chance to do things and comply on their own. I know we put some Facebook stuff out, we've done a little bit of messaging, but nothing to the level that we're now seeing. So I don't understand. It doesn't appear appear that we've made a good faith effort to allow the community to comply on their own without a threat. Because I've seen nothing for posters going up, and it doesn't appear that we've had that outreach. Maybe I'm wrong. I know.
No, Mr. Mayor, that's fair.
And now we're coming to the assembly and asking this assembly again to stick its neck out and basically impose things on this community. And I think it's unfair before we've given it a shot. That's my opinion. Any other comments from the assembly? Okay, does anybody want to make, Patty, are you frozen there? Oh, there's your hand. Okay, so you looked frozen for a second.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Senator Gilbert.
I'm scrambling here because I don't want the motion to die. I want to do something proactive. And so I don't want the motion to be voted down because, am I correct? We can't bring it back in this form. So if this is a pretty good form, we want to make have this document stay alive. So I'm proposing that I move to amend ordinance 1010 and replace it with a PSA campaign to strongly encourage our community to mask up and perform all mitigating acts they can to tamp down the COVID epidemic that we're currently experiencing.
Okay, so if you're making an amendment, I'm going to entertain that amendment if there's a second. But first of all, just as a point of parliamentary procedure, Lisa, is that too drastic of an amendment to maintain the original intent of the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I think we probably need to be a little bit more pointed in the amendment of the ordinance. And I can make a recommendation that we amend the title that we say and recommend the requirement of face coverings in certain indoor settings. Period. And then we remove. We remove sections E, F, and G.
All right, Assemblymember Gilbert, and I appreciate Cindy. I don't know about your. Normally, I rely on Kim to keep us on the rails on this stuff. But Assemblymember Gilbert, if you'd like to rescind your amendment, I would allow you to do that. And if you wanted to change it, I would allow, but I would first appreciate if we could give, I have three assembly members with their hands up and I'd like to give them all an opportunity to speak prior to the amendment. Would you be open to that, Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes, I didn't get a second. So okay. It's off the table.
It's off the table, thank you. We're gonna go with Assemblymember Powell, Assemblymember Corson, and then Assemblymember Morrison. So Assemblymember Powell, please go ahead.
So what my feelings are, and I'm going to quote Bob here, is that I think we need to get better direction on what we really want to do to our city manager. So I'm going to suggest that this actually gets voted down and we direct our city manager to do a direct EOC to do more of a command of posters, going around and talking to people. I think it should have been done. The mayor took some words out of my mouth. So I think this should have been done before even the cruise ship came to town, everything. I think there should have been a campaign out there saying, please wear a mask. We're getting a spike, blah, blah, blah. I feel very uncomfortable voting this in any aspect because none of that was ever done. So I think that's what we need to do right now is to better inform the public of what is going on, go around to the businesses, maybe give everybody a box of masks. I know for one that in my businesses, if somebody wears a mask in there and feels uncomfortable with none of us wearing a mask, one of our employees will put them on. But I am not going to enforce somebody else coming into my business. So I just think that it would be better to do vote this whole thing down and get a campaign out there, you know, voluntarily doing this rather than enforcing it on everybody.
Committeemember Powell, just to make you aware, if it is voted down, then a mask ordinance cannot be brought back for a period of 6 months. So if we were to have a huge blow up, we would not be able to revisit that for 6 months. Just so you know, I'm not saying right or wrong. I just want you to understand that. So I'm going to go to Assembly Member Morrison next.
Okay. Can we, like I believe we've done before, postpone this? And in the meantime, have that campaign of community education and involvement start? I mean, I know we've postponed stuff before. That way we keep the ordinance alive.
I'm going to ask Lisa to weigh in on it. Again, the parliamentary side of this thing, and Finney, if you want to weigh in too, I don't mean to cut you out. I just want to be really cautious that we do this correctly.
Yes.
And my feeling is that if we're postponing something to the next meeting, and giving some guidance to the city manager in terms of the interim, that may well wash, but I want to make sure I'm not stepping in it. Lisa? Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Mayor, this is an emergency ordinance for health purposes. If you vote it down this time, we have the ability to bring this back in another fashion. I'm certain of that. If there's a public health crisis going on, if stuff blows up horribly, we can do what needs to be done in an emergency fashion.
Okay.
So if the assembly wants to vote this down and I have clear direction to get public awareness campaign out there, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Assemblymember Gilbert, you had your hand up. No, not any longer. Assemblymember Corson, I saw your hand up at one point. You're good?
Dave kind of covered everything I was going to bring up. So,
all right. Is there any other comments, questions, or amendments to this motion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Mayor?
Yes. Assemblymember Gilbert, we'll hold on the poll vote, please, Cindy. Go ahead, Assemblymember Gilbert.
We don't have a motion or an amendment. Nobody amended this.
Nobody amended. We're voting on the motion.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I understand.
Nobody seconded your motion. The motion died.
Okay.
Due to lack of second. And now we're on to the original motion.
And nobody moved to postpone it.
Nobody has moved amend. To postpone
mm-hmm.
or amend.
Okay, gotcha.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, poll vote, please, Cindy.
Assemblymember David Powell?
No.
Morrison?
No.
Gilbert?
No.
Ryan Howe?
No.
Corson?
No. Sorry, one second, please, Assemblymember Corson. So, Member Howe, yes or no?
Oh, so this is on the original motion.
Yes, sir. This is the original motion to put an emergency mask ordinance in place for a period of 2 weeks.
Yes.
Assemblymember, sorry, Cindy, did you register Assemblymember Howe's yes?
I did.
Thank you.
Corson?
No.
Dalrymple?
No.
Mayor Prisunka?
No. With the indulgence of the assembly, I'd like to give the city manager direction that we would like to have a clear outline of exactly what is going to take place with the EOC, emphasizing community education and outreach, both including radio spots and posters and going around to businesses and educating businesses, that if the current personnel is not available or is sort of lined out to do that work, that she moves through and ensures that we have adequate personnel to do that work. We want to see a concerted effort moving forward in that department for, you know, we'll say by the next assembly meeting, and we can reevaluate. If things get bad and we're seeing lack of compliance after the thing, then we'll bring it back and have the assembly rediscuss it. But at this point, we want to see what we can do with voluntary compliance within the community. Does that work for the assembly? For guidance to the city manager? Thank you all. Okay, we're moving. Sorry, any questions on that, Lisa?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, 11B. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on a new page. This will now be 13B. Resolution number 08-21-1603 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for the new permanent job description of the Deputy Borough Manager and amending the non-union wage and grade table.
Move to approve resolution number 08-21-1603.
Been moved. We have a second.
Second.
Seconded by Morrison, moved by Powell. Lisa?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is the job description slightly amended from the work session we had at the last meeting, and just bringing this to you for formal approval.
Thank you. Discussion with the assembly? Thank you for moving forward with this so expeditiously. I appreciate it. Assemblymember Gilbert, did you have a comment?
Yes, what was amended from our last meeting? And then how did you determine the grade of pay?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Frankly, there were just a couple of typographical changes and the name was changed. I looked over all of the comments that were made and just made a couple of minor changes and change the name from assistant to deputy as was requested. And then I looked, the wage scale was based on the role that this person's going to play, which is essentially taking over as the city manager in my stead and having an entire set of duties unto their own to do at the top level of top level of performance within the executive management team.
And may I have a follow-up?
Yeah, please go up. Yeah, please go ahead.
What other department directors other than the police chief are at salary grade 35?
Just the police chief.
So this is a grade above the borough manager. Is that correct?
A grade above the borough manager?
Yeah, is the borough manager at this?
I'm not on the salary schedule.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Any follow-ups, Patty?
Well, the other thing is that I would love to see the whole administrative outline. In other words, I'd like to see the borough manager's job description. I downloaded it from our website, but I'm afraid it may not be current. It was last revised 2011. But I was trying to see what distinct jobs. Could you outline those for us, borough manager?
Specifically taking over HR and safety and training, management of training stuff. Those are three specific duties that I can think of outlined right off the top of my head. And the other thing is the assembly specifically requested that this position be able to replace me if I'm gone. In every aspect.
Okay.
Yeah, they would become the acting city manager in Lisa's absence. Any other questions or thoughts? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Prisanka?
Yes. 13C, resolution number 08-21-1604, amending the fiscal year 2022 budget in the Industrial Construction Fund by transferring $6,694.40 from the Industrial Construction Fund reserves to the Industrial Construction Fund professional services account and authorizing the expenditure for aerial imagery.
Move to approve resolution. Wait a minute, am I on the right one?
C, and you're on 13C.
Page 1604, okay. Move to approve resolution number 08-21-1604.
I move, we have a second.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay, we'll give that one to Corson for seconding, and Morrison made the motion. Lisa, do you want to bring us up, or Amber? I see Amber jump back on.
Thanks. I'm actually going to ask Amber to weigh in here as she's been working with the contractor on this.
Please go ahead, Amber.
Great. Thank you. This budget amendment is for the purpose of doing one last task with LIDAR and aerial imagery that we have complete now. The one piece that's missing is the tie-in to our local in-the-field monuments, survey monuments. The benefit of having that tie-in through this additional survey task would be a high accuracy of the X, Y, and Z coordinates and tying that LIDAR into what's actually on the ground. So while it's likely close, it's not accurate as accurate as it could be. So this additional $6,600 is to cover the cost of the field surveyor, as well as the additional Elevate UAS work to tie their ground point into the survey information.
Thank you. Any questions from the assembly on this? Assembly Member Corson.
Yes, sir. My question, I just want clarification on what is the definition of monuments? I'm just trying to grasp that.
It is what is set in place, and it's what all the survey is tied back to around town. So it's kind of your one control point that everything ties back to. There are actually several of them around town that have been used historically. So that is a survey point on the ground.
So nexus points, basically. I think she broke up.
Yeah, she's sorry, some member Corson. Amber, I think you said a nexus point.
I'm not familiar with the survey jargon much to be able to say yes or no.
These are actually actual monuments set in the ground that are used as reference survey points for surveyors when they do other surveys around. So they tie survey, when someone surveys your property, let's say they're surveying the outline of your property, they are tying back to one of these main monuments in town. That's how they make sure that everything is referenced to each other.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Assemblymember Gilbert.
And just for my information, are these all the survey monuments that are available, the ones that are showing on this map? Or are these just the key ones?
R&M worked with Elevate to identify monuments that they have around town. I don't know if it's all the ones that are available. Elevate selected the ones that they felt would be sufficient to be able to tie everything in. I don't know if it's all of the monuments in town.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? I see Terry, your hand's still up. I'm not sure if it's up because you didn't put it down or you got another question. Nope.
Sorry about that. I keep leaving it up.
No problem. Any other questions for Amber or Lisa on this item? Hearing none, pull vote, please.
Councilmember Corson?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Prisanka?
Yes. Item 13B, resolution number 08-21-1605 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the sale of public land on the public surplus website in conformance with Wrangell Municipal Code Chapter 16.12, specifically lots 1A, 1B, and 1C, at Lynn Spruce Subdivision, Wrangell Recording District.
Move to approve resolution number 08-21-1605.
Moved by Powell. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We'll give that one to Dalrymple. Second in. Lisa, do you want to walk us through that one, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is us following through with continuing to move land into the private hands and divesting ourselves of lots. These are the three parcels up on Edelin Avenue that were resurveyed into smaller parcels to make them more attractive for sale. I do want to let the Assembly know that we will need to do utility stub outs for these lots. So we met with Public Works the other day to talk about that. So that's going to get scheduled. There shouldn't be a hold up there with us selling the lots based on that taking place. So we're proposing to sell this in these lots in the same fashion that we did the Armory property over the public surplus website, and the specifics of the sale are outlined in the resolution.
Thank you. Any questions for the city manager?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, please go ahead.
Is there going to be a required, lost my train of thought.
Minimum bid?
A pre-bid for this, amount of money they have to put down before they can bid?
Yeah, we have a $500 registration fee in there, just like we did the last time. And that's refunded to people after that. Yep.
Okay.
Other questions for the city manager? Hearing none, poll vote, please, city.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
And Mayor Prisanka?
Yes. 13E, ordinance number 1009, an ordinance to the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the zoning map to effect a change to lot 12-3, the Movia View subdivision, plat number 86-2, from light industrial to single family residential.
Move to approve first read of ordinance number 1009 and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held September 14th, 2021.
We move. We have a second.
Second.
Moved by Powell, seconded by Morrison. Lisa?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'm actually going to ask Carol to speak to this item. This is a rezone, actually downgrading from light industrial to single family residential, but she's got all the information as this has gone through the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Thank you, Carol.
Mr. Mayor, the property is located there between on the corner next to where the Alaska Waters RV park used to be, adjacent to Public Works and across from Bloom's Trailer Court there. Anyway, James Leslie owns the property and is requesting it to be rezoned from light industrial to residential. There's a sort of an office house apartment kind of there now that they are proposing to live in. And Planning and Zoning Commission was a bit concerned about sort of conflicting uses. There's so many zones surrounding that piece of property, but he's aware of the Public Works industrial site across the way and is sort of that buffer between the residential single family on the other side. So anyway, Planning and Zoning Commission has recommended approval of the rezone.
Thank you. Any questions for Carol or Lisa on this item? I'm not seeing any. Please, city poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Prisanka.
Yes. Item 13F, approval of change order number 3 in the amount of $91,002.19 to Ketchikan Ready Mix and Quarry Inc. for water main replacement project.
Move to approve change order number 3 in the amount of $91,002.19 to Ketchikan Ready Mix and Quarry Incorporated for water mains replacement project.
We move. We have a second.
Second.
Seconded by Morrison and moved by Powell. Do we discussion on this item, Lisa?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to ask Amber to give a briefing on this and talk about the quantities issues that come up, obviously, during construction with unknown materials, and to talk about how the change order is being funded.
Thank you. Amber, please go ahead.
All right, thank you. We have several items here to reconcile in the project, and actually some that weren't. So there is some credit figures included here as well. Oftentimes when you're doing trenching, Amber, excavation and coming.
I'm sorry, but yes. you're cutting out really badly. Might I recommend that you turn off your video? It may help your bandwidth there, and then we'll get your audio. And I didn't catch a whole bunch of that first part.
Okay. I'll start over. Let me know. Just interrupt me if you can't hear me well this time. We have several items that make up this $91,000 change order. It is the final change order for the project. The project's complete. It reconciles the original bid quantities against the final quantities as those change throughout the project. We have a substantial amount of unsuitable common excavation as well as the trench backfill and the D1 base course that went back in. We see this quite often when the engineers, of course, are speculating how wide that trench is going to be and deep. And they developed the bid quantities for those. There was quite a bit of maneuvering around rocks after we encountered the first bedrock in Spring Street. The contractor was trying to avoid having to either blast or drill additional rock that was encountered in a couple of the other streets. So they worked with us to try to mitigate that. It created some additional open trenching. Public Works asked for some additional D1 also at all the services just to make future maintenance easier. So that accounted for some of that additional D1 base course. The 18-inch storm drain pipe, a lot of that was not used. It was only two sections of that used. So we've got a credit for that, credit for some concrete patch that was not, the unit quantities were not utilized fully. We have a credit for a water assembly, a 1-inch water assembly that was not installed due to there were 3 water services on one site. So we replaced 2 and not the 3rd through concurrence of everyone. The material had already been purchased and we own that. So there was less than the full unit price for the 1-inch water assembly that was credited back. Certain portions of the water also didn't get to the full depth. And so we have a contract clause that directs the contractor to use additional rigid board insulation if they don't get it to the specific depth. So additional rigid board insulation was included there. Also some additional field directives for just things we encountered that weren't anticipated. And then the last item is some bedrock removal. We encountered some of that in Spring Street, and this accounts for the cost of the equipment and the labor to do that additional work. We originally received a claim from the contractor that was probably 6 times in that amount, and we counter proposed and asked them to justify, and they revised their price for that item based on industry standards that we asked them to justify. So. That got down to 17. We feel that's reasonable for what they've asked for. That all totals $91,000. And again, the work is complete. They're just wrapping up one last punch list item. That's to grade and roll the roads. And we're ready to close this out with DEC. We have a loan from DEC as well as a grant from DEC to cover the costs of this project. The grant requires the 30% match. We have plenty of grant money. We'll probably be returning quite a bit of it. So 30% of this $91,000 will be paid by our loan, which in turn will become debt service for the water department. Any questions?
Any questions for any assembly members? Thank you very much, Amber. I'm not seeing anything. So with that, we'll have a poll vote, please, Cindy.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Prisanka?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's file, is available for assembly review in the borough's clerk's office. Item 15, executive session, there is none tonight. And just prior to adjournment, I just want to encourage the community to be cautious. We obviously are entering some uncharted territory here, and there's going to be a lot more information out there about wearing masks and being careful. And I just can't emphasize it enough. We have some people in the community who've become quite ill with this, and I don't want anybody else to get sick. I also want, like Lisa said, that we are able to keep our businesses open, and that's so important. I have had several businesses reach out to me really concerned about another shutdown, and believe me, nobody on this assembly wants to see that. We've enjoyed having businesses open up and us being able to proceed. One other thing the community may not realize is that the city is in an extremely precarious position itself with its staff. We've had a situation where we've been depleted. Our staff in City Hall has been depleted to the point that we've had to close it off to the public because we just don't have staff. And I know that there's other departments, like Lisa said, that have been dramatically impacted. I've had questions as to when City Hall will be open again, and I'm quite certain that we don't know until we're able to see how people are doing. I mean, you hope that it's just the 10 days or whatever it takes for quarantining or isolation or whatever it is, but this is people's health. We don't know how long they're going to take. I was reading a story in the news of a small town lost all of its city staff to COVID. Everything, the town shut down completely. There was nobody to respond to water main breaks. There were water and sewer was shut down. I mean, everything. And they had to declare an emergency, and the state had to come in and help them out. So we obviously don't want to get there. So let's be cautious and help each other out and be good neighbors and get through this most recent phase. With that, I am going to adjourn this meeting at 8:22 p.m. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks.
Recording stopped.